Blog Talk Radio.
Preacher, I'm preaching you, Pastor. You call me Pastor, I'm calling you Pastor. Somebody got to be the preacher. So I'm going to be the preacher.
Right. Yeah, I definitely know that you are a pastor, and every now and again, you know, I forget, and I just call you. But for the show purposes, you are preacher.
Preacher. You know, we used to have a segment called Preach Preacher, and we haven't used it, but I realized that we're preaching the whole show. Yeah. You know, we're preaching.
Yeah, amen. We
just got natural.
Yeah, we thank God for using us how he's so pleased to use us.
Amen. Glory to God. Today we're talking about?
God is in control.
I want to add to that. God is in complete control of all things. A lot of times we get so caught up in worldly things and men and positions, you know, the president and, you know, the kings and the queens here and there, but understand that God is in complete control.
Amen. You know, knowing that God is in control, we definitely will know that this is a great topic for tonight. I'm so happy that I'm a part of it. We'll be able to get into it and go to scripture on here and, you know, just really get down into knowing what's going on in this world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're just now tuning in to the preacher and the pastor. Yes, thank you, love. A little love from the hubby. God bless you all that's tuning in tonight. We're talking about God is in control. So tonight the show will remind us who is in control of all in all, the one creator, the almighty God. The Bible says in Isaiah 45:6-7, if you walk with me here, I'll let you all get a chance to get there. Isaiah 45 in that verse 6-7, you all, 6-7. Amen, amen. And actually, let's go. I want to go up to verse 2, if you all don't mind. Let's go from 2-7. The Bible says here in Isaiah 45, verse 2-7, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the grate of the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and for Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you through. You have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, it is setting, that there is none besides me. And then I am the Lord, and there is no other. Verse 7 says, I form the light and created darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. If you don't know by now that God is in complete control, he is the creator of all things in all. So we just have to have an understanding of that. And once it's not just an understanding, but believing, have an understanding of believing who God is and what position have you put God in your life. So again, the Bible says in Isaiah 45, especially mainly in verse 6 and 7, that they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I formed the light and created darkness, make the peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God said, I do all these things. That's not one man alive that can do that. That's not one man alive that can say, past and present, that can say that they created the world. The Bible says, even in the beginning, in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't say that God had helped, that man was there and helped man, helped make man. No, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God is in complete control of all things. I don't care how chaotic it looks right now or what it looks like it's going to be or may not be. God is in control, and God can turn it around for our good at any point in time. He is the creator of all things. He has the whole world in his hand. So as we stand on this scripture, we need to understand who God is. And if he is the God that created the light, the sun, the darkness, you know, he is the same God that can bring you out of darkness into the light. So God is ruler over light and darkness, over peace and calamity. Our lives are sprinkled with both types of experiences, and both are needed for us to grow spiritually. So when good times come, thank God and use your for him. When bad times come, don't resent them, but ask what you can learn from this refining experience to make you a better servant of God, because God is in control. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, preacher. Now,
yes, Pat.
This is a topic that has been spoken on many different levels by many different theologians and many different people. Saying what we are saying is that God is in, and you're saying in complete control. So,
yes.
Perception. So now,
yes.
Now, we should always be in that place of agreeing, that knowing that God is in control. Well, you said complete control. So now, complete. I have to go over here to the first book of Genesis. So, what we should know is that God is in complete control, but man and woman, we are not in complete control, but we want to be in complete control. We want to be in control. God is in complete control, but why is it that we are out of control? Now, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I say this here in a second. because this has been a topic that has been studied for many of times. So now, doing Bible study, and I thank God, you know, for allowing us to have this time to be able to study. Holy Spirit, we loose you to have your way in this place and to be able to be our thoughts,
right,
be every single word that comes out of our mouth. Make sure we are not speaking of ourselves, but just use the word of God to be able to rightly divide it. Genesis 1 and 26. And before I tell you this here, God is in complete control, but he needs you. He needs you. He needs believers. He needs believers to be able to use them, to be able to use your body for things to happen in this world. He needs your mouth, for your mouth to be able to speak life and speak health and speak healing. He needs your hands, for your hands to be able to touch and to heal. He needs you to be able to cast out demons. He needs that body for you to be able to flow through. Now look here, over here in Genesis 26. Genesis 1 and 26. Now, Genesis 1 and 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image. So now us is God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, we know right here, that God created the earth and everything in the earth and every single beast is in the earth. And it says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth and everything that creeps in and everything that creeps on the earth. Now, this is the word that is spoken. This is the word that is spoken here. And God's word would never come back void. He would never come back void. So because this was spoken, God is in complete control, but he needs you to be able to flow through. So now let's make sure, you know, we are telling everyone that. We are make sure we are telling that God needs you. God needs you because we're in the body of Christ. We are Christian. We are Christ-like. Even Christ, even he told us that you'll be able to do greater works than me because it is I that lives inside of you. Is out of living inside of you. So a lot of times, you know, we would let the world just beat us down. The world would just beat us down. People would speak things over our life. People would hurt us and touch us, and we'll be praying, you know, to God, you know, to send us help. And God, you know what I'm saying, you know, help me to get out of here. But, hey, you have dominion. You have power over everything. You have dominion. Because right here in 26 says that you have, he said, let them, talk about man and woman, have dominion over all things. God is in complete control, but he needs you to believe in Jesus Christ and to believe that he can use you to be able to do things in this world. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to, if you just said to me, we're talking about God's in control, I just want to add to what you were saying, Pastor, here, because even in this scripture in Isaiah 45, we're talking about God was blessing his anointed, which is Cyrus. Isaiah 45, one said, thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings to open before him the double door so that the gates will not be shut. And he tells us, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. So God is the power over all powers, and he anoints whom he chooses for his special task. So Cyrus' kingdom spread across 2,000 miles, the largest of any empire that was known then. You know, going in different forms of the territories, both the Assyrian and the Babylonian Empire. So why did God anoint Cyrus? Because God had a special task for him to do for Israel, just as he can use us for a special task. As you say, he needs us to use us. Though he has our power, he does give us power. And through God's power, we have power. So because God has a special task for him to do, Cyrus to do in Israel, Cyrus would allow God's city and Jerusalem to be rebuilt, and he would set the exiles free without expecting anything in return. So few kings of Israel or Judah had done as much for God's people as Cyrus would, and understanding that God has all power because he is the sovereign God. So he has all power, all creator of all things. But again, he, you know, and that's where we get power. We get power from God to be able to do for God to work in us. It is not our power. It is God's power. power. You know, the power does not belong to us. It is God that give us the power. You know, we can't go purchase it. We can't go buy it. It is a God-given. It's a gift from God, the power of God. So we understand that God is sovereignty. God is sovereignty of God, and understanding what that means. God is the supreme authority, and all things are under his control. So God is the sovereign Lord of all by any uncontestable right as the creator, only possessor of heaven and earth. And so I just wanted to add to, you know, to what you were saying, you know, just saying, yes, it is true, because God gives, you know, he gives us power. That's in the beginning in Genesis where he gave us dominion. You know, he gave us dominion over things and, you know, in the air and on the earth. And so, again, we're talking about, if you're just getting tuned in, God is in control. He's in control of everything. You know, he's in control of all things, and he can turn it around. And I just want to go over to Job. Go ahead.
So now that you were saying that, I didn't mean to, because you said we're going over to Job.
Yeah, we're going over to Job.
Okay, let's go over to Job.
And the reason I want to go over to Job, because we know the story of Job. You know, we always hear, you know, the point where, you know, Job, he lost everything, and then God gave him everything back. But, you know, the time when while Job was going through, his friends was coming and basically telling him, well, you did this and you need to repent and, you know, you need to ask God for forgiveness. And he was saying, I haven't done anything. And, you know, he kept wanting to hear from God, you know, talk to me, tell me what I've done, you know, you know, say something to me. And he kept asking, you know, wanted answers from God. And when we look at Job chapter 12, Job answers his critics. So he's saying, when we look at verse, let's go from one. Job answered and said, no doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you, but I have understanding as well as you, and I'm not inferior to you. And he who does not know such things as these, I am one mocked by his friends who called on God, and he answered me. The just are blameless who is ridiculed. A lamp is despised, and the thought of one who is at ease, it is made ready for those who feet slip, and the tent of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secured in what God provides by his hand. And let's go down to go to verse 7. But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Whom among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And this is saying that God is in control, because like whom among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, all of this? And then in verse 10 it says, and whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? So that you will understand that God is in control. He's the creator of all things, you know, and we take it back to scripture. It's right here. Job said, I know this. And who knows all this but God? And then if we go over to chapter 41, God challenges in chapter 40 and 41, and even in 42, I believe, 40 and 41, God challenges Job. So God answers back to Job. He answered back. He said, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken. He realized, he's like, wait a minute. I know God is in control. Who am I to speak now? God is speaking back. The Bible says in verse 6, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. So that he can know that I'm in control. You know, he's asking, where were you when this happened? So the Bible says, let's go down to verse. I want to go down to, let's see. Let's go to 16. Verse 16 is in the same chapter 40. It says, see now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze. His ribs are bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus tree in a covered reeds of marsh. the lotus tree covers him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. So God is telling him, you know, I've done all this. Nobody has knowledge of this but me. I'm the creator of all things, and you want me to answer you. So God is asking him these questions. Who did it? Will he? In verse 3, and I'm sorry, y'all, I'm moving a little fast. Let me calm down. Verse 41, it says, will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? And he's talking about Leviathan right here. And Leviathan, if you all don't know what Leviathan is, back then it was considered a seven-headed sea monster in the old Canaanite myths. It probably means like a crocodile or something like that. And so he was talking to him about the Leviathan and how to hook in, tell them about who this is, and are you able to know it? Do you know this is how it operates and this is how it is? So then the Bible, if we go down to verse 10. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. So who then is able to stand against him? And then 11 says, who has preceded me and I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Everything under heaven is mine. I created all things. I'm in control of everything. Everything, how it moves, how it's created, how it reproduces, I'm in control of that to make it stand, to make it lay, to make it live, to make it die. He said, I'm in control of this. So understand that God is still in control. He is still on the throne. Uh-huh. He controls all. Amen?
Amen. Amen. We should definitely know. I want to go over here to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now,
amen.
Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's start right here at 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Now, this is Ezekiel saying, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was filled of bones. And 2 says, and called me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were all dry. They said they were very dry. Now these bones, named Ezekiel, had the hand of God upon them. Now he's down in the midst of the valley of dry bones here. Okay, and 3 says, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? Now this is God speaking to Ezekiel. God asked him, can these bones live? And I answered. Ezekiel said, O Lord God, thou know. God, you know.
Yeah,
see, now,
you know.
Let me tell you what Ezekiel is doing. What Ezekiel is doing is God asked him a question, and Ezekiel, he answered in the manner of, yes, these bones can live. He believed that these bones can live. You are God. You're in control of everything.
Yes.
These bones are laying down, and he said he's in the valley, and they were very dried up. Now, I know when I see old dried up bones, I think that, you know, there's no life in those bones. There's no flesh in those bones.
Absolutely.
There's no organs. And they're not breathing, because I know what I see.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that's going on in the world right now. You know, it's certain things that we are experiencing right now in life.
Right.
And
now
we are looking at it, you know, from the perspective of how we see it and how we understand it. But we need to know that God is in control. God is in control of all things and over all situations. We need to know that. It don't matter what it looked like right now. It don't matter what it looked like to my eyes. What looked like the end is not the end. It's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
So down here, we'll go on down here a little bit more in 4. And he said, and again, he said unto me, well, prophesy to these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Jesus.
And 5 says, thus said the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into their body. So now Ezekiel did exactly what God told him to do.
Yes,
he did what God told him to do. But first, Ezekiel had to believe that God can use him
to be able to prophesy to these bones.
Prophesy, yes, yes.
That's the same thing that we are in this earth. We are in this earth, and there are situations that are going on right now, and they look dry, they look dead up. I mean, they look dried up. It looked dead and looked like, you know, there's no more life into it. It looked like this situation is over. I'm just going to have to live like this. I'm going to have to live with this situation. I'm going to have to live with this sickness. I'm going to have to live with this disease and how you and I are being shot down, or how you and I are being all different manners of things. But see, when you believe in God, see, believe in God first. Believe in God first, and God will give you that word. He'll give everyone who all believe. He will use you in a way to be able to prophesy to your situation, prophesy into this world. Tell them what thus saith the Lord. See, if you can be in that position where you believe, yes, God is in all control, but let him use you. Let him use you. And then he went down, he prophesied, and he prophesied to those bones, and he told them what thus saith the Lord. And it said the bone, how they connected together, bone to bone. Now, I remember if it was bone over here on the other side.
They became a strong army.
They became a strong army. They became a strong army.
Jeez.
They became a strong army. So we need to definitely know. We need to definitely know that God is in control of every situation. Don't look like it's dead and gone. God is still in control. We know when Jesus Christ, when he gave his life for us up on Calvary's Hill, he was dead. Mm-hmm. He died. He gave up his own life. And he died right there for us, and he was buried. But the same God, now this is God that was hanging there on the tree, hanging there on the cross,
died and buried,
and had the spirit of God that was resurrected from the dead. You know, after he said he had to went to hell, and the third day he arose from hell. So he brought life back. He gave his life and took his life back. Now this is God. Yes, God is in control. Yes, God is in control.
Yes, he is.
Over every situation in your life, God is in control. And we need to know that and use him. Use him. You have the Holy Spirit. You have an excellent spirit that lives on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Use him and let him use you. That's the will of God for your life. Will of God for you to stay in that love, to stay in that place where you know God is in control. And for him to use you to be that body that he flows through. Amen. Amen.
Jesus. Amen. If you're just now tuning in to the preacher and the pastor show, we're talking about God is in control. Yes, it's in control. When you believe God and you receive God and you allow God to be the head of your life and the lifter of your head, he can move mountains. He can part those seas in your life that seem difficult to cross over, things that's hard to, you know, to get over, to go through. God will be with you. You got to understand that, you know, man is not in control. Man does not have the final say. I don't care what position, what boss, what president, what king, you know, how much money. God is in control. It takes me to Matthew 19. Chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Again, I'll give you all a chance to get there. That's Matthew chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. As you all get to those, able to pull up that scripture, I just want to remind you all that we do have Bible study every Wednesday at 7 p.m., which is done by conference call. That way you don't have to leave home. You can just log on on the phone and call in and get Bible study with us in prayer. Let me give you all that number. It's 978-990-5417. Again, it's 978-990-5417. And the access code is 434-1580. Number sign 434-1580. Number sign. And I just wanted to, you know, we'll mention it again during the show again. I just wanted to make sure that we put that out there. Today was our first day, our first Bible study, conference call Bible study, being my husband. So we're excited about what God is doing. Next year we'll be in the building in the name of Jesus Christ, and we decree and declare and receive it. So Matthew 19, verse 25 through 26 reads, "When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?'" So what was being said there is that Jesus was saying to the disciples, "Truly, I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So in verse 25, his disciples when they heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well, who then can be saved? And then verse 26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And
my
verse 27
Lord.
Said, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you, therefore what shall we have? So what the Bible is saying here is that the disciples were astonished. They thought that if anyone could be saved, it would be the rich, who the culture considers especially blessed by God. A lot of times we see people, they have money or they have riches, they have things, we consider them to be blessed. Oh, they're blessed.
Uh-huh.
They're blessed, you know, because they have that.
Right.
But when you have God, you get everything. When you have God, you get everything. When you have God, you know, controlling your life, you have everything. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you get God, you get everything. When you seek God, you get everything that you need. And that's God being in control of your life, meaning turning your situation around. When man said no, God said yes. And when man said yes and God said no, you won't die from this. You know, no, this won't happen to you. When man is trying to decree and declare something over your life, God is in control to change that thing around. Like my husband said, he can tell you to speak to those dry situations in your life when it seems dead and dry and there's no life in it at all. Now, it ain't just that, it's been dead. It's more than dead. It's dry now. You know, that you can speak to that thing where it looks impossible. But the Bible said, with God, all things are possible. So in the Bible, God gives rewards. When we look at verse 27, Peter answered and said to him, see, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So the Bible, in the Bible here, God gives rewards to his people according to his justice. So in the Old Testament, obedience often brought reward in this life, but obedience and immediate reward are not always linked. So if they were good people, would always be rich, and suffering would always be a sign of sin. But as believers, our true reward is God's presence and power through the Holy Spirit. So later in eternity, we will be rewarded for our faith and service. So if material rewards in this life came to us for every faithful deed, we would be tempted to boast about our achievement and act out of wrong motivations. So then, you know, we just thank God that God is in control of our life, because when we have God in control of our life, then we can have self-control. Self-control. Amen.
Amen. That was a if that wasn't the perfect word that you just said right there. You just said the perfect word for this topic. You said self-control. Now,
self-control
is something that we all should possess. We all should possess self-control. And we know that self-control comes from knowing who is in control of your life. Because whoever
that you
are listening to, or whoever that you are following, that tends to put you in a place to where you're going to be acting on it. Now, if you are, if you have self-control, or you're in control, however you want to say it, self-control or in control, that means you know how to think about things before you act on a thing. Now, some things, you know, it just takes instinct. You just need to react right quick. But when you're when you have self-control, and I'm just talking about, you know, as far as situation. Now, say it is that me and my wife are having a conversation here, and, you know, there is a disagreement. There's a view, and her view may look one way, and my view may look another way. There is a possibility that how I think it should happen, or how I think it should be said, I can say something that can strike up a feeling that will cause an action, and this action that will cause a word, and this word will come out of my mouth, or this word might come out of her mouth. Now, we talking about, you know, all right. Did I? Look, she tried. Look, my wife, she wanted to say, yeah.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything. So now you said self-control. You said self-control. So I should always think about the things, or ask permission to be able to say things or do things before I just do it. Because if I don't, I can say something that's an error. I can say something that's very offensive. I can say something that caused a person to, now I'm out of control because I can't hold my tongue, and I would say something. I would speak something into this situation, or speak something to this world. So now I didn't cause my wife to lose control. Now both of us are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any self-control. Now I'm not saying that we do this, because, you know, all the time, you know, we try to practice being
of in control, but sometimes, you know, I'm just going to be honest, the conversation can go a little higher. There is no profanity, but the conversation can be in a disagreement. But I need to have self-control. First Peter, one of my favorite ones, 1 Peter 3 and 10. 1 Peter 3 and 10. I believe we done went here more than one time before, but this definitely relates to tonight.
It's relevant.
We done went here today. Yeah, you said self-control. So now, 1 Peter 3 and 10 reads, for he that loves life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that they speak no guile. So now, this is telling you, this right here, scripture is telling you that, hey, you need to learn how to have some self-control. Now, if you want to experience good days, especially if you're married, if you're in any type of relationship, some words just should not come out of your mouth. I don't care how you thought of it. I don't care how you think how right this needs to be said at this time. Well, this scripture right here says, for he that loves life. Now, you love life, or you love life with the one that you with, you need to learn how to hold your tongue. Learn how to hold your tongue. Because if you can learn how to hold your tongue and learn how to refrain from saying evil things or speaking bad words to your wife or to your husband or to your son or your daughter or whoever it is, your brother, your sister, mother, if you can learn how to do that, now that's something that we all should do. You are practicing how to be in control. Be in control of that untamed beast, the tongue. The tongue that can speak life or it can speak death. Use God. Trust the word of God. You know, get the word of God and let it minister to you. Let it live on the inside of you. So, you know, when things come up, when situations happen, you can know how to, then you think you slick. I don't give you authorization to use my mind. I don't give you authorization to use my lips to speak something against my wife or to speak something against my husband. You do not have authorization to do that. God is in control of me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I'm going to hold my tongue. Like the old people used to say, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. They was right on target with that. They was right on target with that one. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all, which is better for you. And I understand why. I see old men and old women that live past 70, past 80, past 90. Now I understand why. Because they would sit back and there would be all type of things that were going on. They'll be quiet and they'll be watching. They'll hold their tongue. But when they do open up their mouth, it's all wisdom that comes out because they've experienced life way more than what we have because they're in control, that self-control. Amen.
Amen, amen. You just now tuned into the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Our God is in control. We need to remember who is in control. A lot of times we get so fixated on what's going on in the world. We'll start operating in fear and we'll start getting out there and forgetting, wait a minute, God is in control. There's no amount of water I can buy, toilet paper, or hand sanitizer, medication. You know, there's no amount of that I can do. You know, God is in control. If God got you, I don't care what man try to do. They can give you life sentences. If God says it's not for you, guess what? It's not going to be for you. The doctor can diagnose you with something. If God says that's not for you, it's not going to be for you. He will protect you in that because God is in control. And a lot of times God will use us. It's not even about us. It's about God. And people are seeing and understanding that God is in control. He is still the same God. He still sits on the throne. Nobody is taking his place. No man can take the place of God. No man can create and do what God is doing. Please understand, if you forgot who God is and what position he holds in this earth and in the heavens, God is in complete control. He is a sovereign God, God of all power. So we have to understand it. And I'm just going to give you all, like even in the book of Daniel, you know, even when the king ordered Daniel to be sent to the lion's den, thinking that he's in control. They told him, he said, I'm going to obey my God before I obey you. So do what you have to do. So they put him in the lion's den. So what man was trying to do, because that he thought he was in control, now realizing that God is in control of you. He's over the king. So no matter what man trying to do to you, woman trying to do to you, God is in control. When we trust God, when we trust God and believe God and we allow God to be the head of our life, when we look in the Bible in Daniel, and we're going to be in chapter 6, verse 16. It says, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Okay, he will deliver you. And then verse 17 says, then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning David might not be changed. So here we go. They put him in the den to make sure he doesn't get out. They put a rock, a boulder, a stone, so he couldn't move it. He couldn't get out. So this was the king. The king had a position. You know, he had control over that area. He had control over that dominion, that area of the land. He was ruling. So whatever he said went. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm here to tell you, no matter what they try to say, it don't matter what God is saying. So then verse 18 said, now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose. Look here. God has all power and in control. That the one that is against you, he'll make them lose sleep. He'll make them get weary. He'll make them come look and see and ask about it. Because when they know the God that you serve, they got to know that God is in you. And then not just that, when we talk about self-control and God being in control, that you have control enough for people can see God instead of seeing you and your behavior. Because then you know, you've done away with the old man and you've done away with the old woman, and you allow God to control you. See, when you accept God to come in you, you change. You know, something about you change. Your speech change. Your attitude change. Your walk change. You don't do the same things no more. You don't hang in the same places no more. So the king, they knew that Daniel was a praying man, and they knew that the God that he served was a God of all power. So the Bible said that he couldn't even sleep. So then verse 19 said, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. I mean, he hurried to the den of the lions. And verse 20 said, he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentating voice to Daniel, voice of sorrow. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then verse 21 says, let me tell you how God is in control. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Verse 20 said, my God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. The king realized who was in control, that he was not even in control. He couldn't even sleep. Right. He had to go running to see what God had did. Oh, my Lord, my God, God is in control. I know you right there, and you said, I'm not going to get better. They're trying to take everything. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to lose my mind. I want you to decree and declare that God is in control over all of that. He's not just in control over some of the things in our life. He's in control over everything in our life. Give it all over to God. Don't just pray about it. Be about what you're praying about. Be about God's business, amen?
Amen, amen, amen. You said another key word. You said don't just pray about it, but be about it. But man ought to always pray. And the reason why man ought to always pray, because it is for you to pray to God, for you to have this conversation with God, so you would know what to do when you do not know what to do. God is in control. But I'm here to tell you one thing. Now, who is creating all the death and destruction that is going on in your life, all the death and destruction that's going on in this world that you live in? It is Satan. That is not the doing of God. So now, who is control of all of the death and destruction? Now, that's the work of Satan. So now, you have a choice to make who you serve. Who you serve.
Yes.
Because if you're in fear, and you're believing in everything that is told to you, for everything that told you to do to keep you in that place, then that means that Satan is in control of you. But if you are in a place in your life where you do not fear Satan, God has given you power, and he has given you authority over Satan. You have power and authority over Satan.
And the reason why you have power and authority over Satan, because, like I said, over in Genesis, he says, and let them have dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. So what that means is mankind has power and authority over all of the earth. God is in control, but he gave you the power and authority to manage the earth that you live in. So we are called to be stewards, like stewards. We don't own the world. Now, I have people that try to say that they own this place and they own that place and I have all the money and I own this and you have to rent it from me or you have to purchase it from me. But no, God owns everything that's in the world, but he put mankind as like a manager, like we are supposed to manage it and we have dominion over it. No spirits, no spirits, no wicked spirits, no demonic spirits, no strong man or messenger of Satan have no dominion over mankind. It is illegal yes. for any spirit to try to operate in the earth without man's permission or woman's permission. That's the reason why Satan had to deceive man and had to deceive woman, because Satan had needed a body that he can operate in to be able to be in control of what God had put man and woman in control of. He needed a body.
Amen.
He needed a body. Because he needed to use your body to be able to wreak havoc or cause death and destruction in the world. He needed your body. So now, God gave you power. He gave you authority. So he said, let us make man in an image, a likeness of us, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now, it's up to you. If you're going to let God use your body, if you're going to let God speak words to you, or are you going to choose to let Satan use you? You let Satan use your body or let Satan speak through you, saying all manner of evil things. You're trying to hurt one another. You're trying to kill one another. I want to make sure that you lose your job. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your health. See, we have people that's in this world that they are letting Satan use them, and they're speaking all manner of things over you because you are serving the living God. You are serving a good God. Now, God loves man. That's 100% for a fact. God loves you no matter what. But don't you let Satan use you to try to prove God wrong. See, God ain't going to destroy you, but don't you allow Satan to live on the inside of you. Don't you let him use your body so you can destroy man and you can destroy this whole world and then say, you know, that, hey, well, I didn't know that. No, you know what you're doing because you should choose Christ. Choose Christ.
Amen.
Because by default, no spirits have legal authorization. You have the power and authority to be able to speak a thing, to be able to decree a thing, to be bound or to be loose. The Word of God says that. Everything that is bound on earth have already been bound in heaven. And everything that's loosed on earth have already been loosed in heaven. So loose the Spirit of God in your life. Let God have authority over your body. Don't let Satan have authority over your body. Let God have authority over your body. Let healing take place in your body. You can speak. You can lose healing. You can lose prosperity in your life. You can speak it because there are people that are speaking all manners of evil things
Amen. In
this world and on you. Amen.
Amen. If you just now tuned in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about God is in control. And as Pastor was saying about, you know, allowing God to use you and making sure that you're not allowing any other spirit to operate you besides the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about Daniel here. See, Daniel stood alone. Although he knew about the law against praying to anyone except the king, he continued to pray three times a day, as he always did. You can't allow situations and circumstances to stop you from praying and seeking God. Then you had a disciplined prayer life. So our prayers are usually interrupted not by threats, but simply by the pressure of our schedules. So don't let the threats of pressure cut into your prayer time. Pray regularly, no matter what. For prayer is your lifeline to God, the all-powerful God, the one that's in control of all things that can turn it around. So we got to make sure that we get in a place like Daniel, no matter what, who say, what work says, or what job says, or what the world is saying, we got to be in that place with God, and we need to be praying at all times, no matter what may come up upon us. So when we look at in the book of Daniel, as we were going through Daniel, when he was facing the lion, Daniel made no attempt to hide his daily prayer routine from his enemies in government. So even though he knew he would be
he would be disciplining, he would be disobeying the new law, hiding his daily prayers, which have been futile, because surely the conspirators would have caught him at something else during, you know, any other time. So also hiding would have demonstrated that he was afraid of the government and not of what God was telling him to do. He was standing on the word of God, and that's what we should, stand on the word of God, seeking God. Daniel continued to pray because he could not look to the king for the guidance and strength that he needed during this difficult time. Only God could provide what he really needed, and we got to get in that mindset. You know, we can't look for things and people and money. We got to look to God to provide. And really do that for us, amen. And so I'm grateful to be able to know and have God the head of my life, the lifter of my head, that God is in control. And I stand on it, that God is in complete control of all things. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:4 that the Lord has made everything for its purpose, and even the wicked for the day of trouble. So God is in complete control. Mm-hmm. You all, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about God is in control. I want to give you all the Bible study number again here, because we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show. That number is 978-990-5417. Access code is 434-1580. Number sign Wednesdays at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. And we thank God to be able to be that vessel that God flows through. Amen. If you all look at Psalm, we're going to go to Psalm 118, 6-8, and I give it back over to you, Pastor. Psalm 118, verse 6-8, it says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side." The one who is in control, the Bible says, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me." Verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord, knowing that God is in control, trusting that God is in control of your situation. The scripture is talking about confidence in God's eternal love, God's love and unchanging in the midst of changing situations in our life. This gives us security. So in verse 8, as it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So as we know, pilots, I don't know if you ever been on a plane before. You know, for me, I don't like flying, but I've flown. I've even flown, you know, overseas. I've been in Africa. I've been in Europe. And had the opportunity. So pilots put confidence in their planes, just like a man in his car. So commuters place confidence in trains and cars and buses, you know. But each day we must put our confidence in something or someone. So every day, you know, each day we must put our confidence somewhere in something or someone. So, you know, I have confidence in my husband, you know, and what he would do. He's shown himself to, you know, shown to be that man that he say he is. So I have confidence in him doing this or doing that I'm asking him. So if we are willing to trust a plane or a car, or to trust others, or trust your car to get you to a destination, are you willing to trust God to guide you here on earth and to your eternal destination? Because there is an eternal destination that we have. We all have an eternal destination. Do you trust him enough more than any human being? That's the question. Some of us have more trust in men, more trust in our attorney, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our doctors, or whatever it is. We have more trust in human beings. How futile is it to trust anyone or anyone more than you trust God? Think about it. God is in control. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, what a great topic for tonight. You know, God is in control. I tell you one thing. God is in control over me. I'm talking about the Almighty God that I serve. I serve Almighty God.
Shabbat,
and I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son.
Yes, it is.
Who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, born of the Holy Spirit. He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, dead, and buried. Yes, and on the third day he arose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church universal, the communion of the saints, and the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Now, I'm talking about, you know, God is in control. He is in control over me because I choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me in every situation, in every situation.
Yes,
and I know when I start slipping and I start fumbling and messing up,
See, I know that who I'm following. See, I'm following myself then. But God is in control. God is in control.
Yes, he is.
And I should know to be meek, and I should know to be humble and always trust him.
Amen.
That's the will of God for your life, where you know that God loves you and know that he's in control of every situation. It don't matter what the situation
is.
There's no situation that's too big for God. Don't make God so our situation so big and God so small. No, God is a huge God, almighty God, creator of all things. So if he's creator of all things, the heaven and the earth and everything that's in it, what situation do you ever think that you can face, whether it's in this life or the next life to come, that God hasn't already taken care of, that he can't do? Now, you might not understand it, but it's for you to have faith and to believe and that God is in control over all things, not some things, but over all things. Amen. Great title for tonight. God is in control.
God is in control. I want to say that was your food for thought. Amen. That was your food for thought.
You know,
amen.
Let that be food for thought for tonight. Let that be
food for thought for tonight.
Yes, God is in control over all things.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he is. If you're just going to tune in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're wrapping up the last few minutes of the show. We definitely want to pray for you. God is in control, and I hope you all was blessed by the topic on tonight and will join us again tomorrow night at 8 p.m. as we live by the Holy Spirit, what to bring for you all, making sure it's you know, that meat that we can shred it, you know, we can give it to you in whole pieces, shred it up so you can eat it. We just thank God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There's nothing too hard for God to do, for he is in control. What I want to pray tonight is for unquestionable miracles to happen into your life today, my life, my husband's life, the life of our children, our mothers and brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, near and far, those that we love and concerned about, all who are listening today. Bless your household and all that's attached to you. Father God, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we come thank you, Father God, for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We come asking for a little more grace, oh God. Lord, have mercy on us, oh God, and all who are listening on tonight, Father God. Lord, we come seeking you first, your kingdom and all your righteousness and truth. Father God, wherever we are mentally, physically, let your power begin to touch us right now. Begin to do the miraculous, do great and mighty things, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. Wherever a miracle is needed, do it for the glory of Jesus. Lord, do unquestionable miracles and build up our faith so that we will be able to trust you for the unquestionable miracles in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that happen in our lives, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your grace, your sufficient grace and mercy. We thank you for your love, and we thank you right now, Lord God, through your grace, great things are going to begin to happen to the listener, for me and my husband and all that we're concerned about and loving our family members, oh God. Great and mighty things are going to begin to happen in our lives and in your life. Those who are listening will go to a greater glory and to a greater altitude in Jesus' name. Do only what you can do, oh Lord. Intervene right now divinely. Whatever a miracle is needed, let it take place right now. A miracle in healing, a miracle of being delivered and suffering.
Right now,
whatever healing is needed, let
Jesus.
It take place right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever deliverance is needed, let it take place right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever, let it begin right there. Let it happen right now for the glory of King Jesus. Oh, my Lord, my God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, so that the whole world may see and know that Jesus is Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that they will know, Father God, that you are in complete control, oh God. Not man, not woman, not money, not things, but you, Father God, that they may see and know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Open up the way, Lord. Begin to open up the way right now wherever it seems to be going in the wrong way, Lord God. Wherever we find ourselves in the way, and the way is closed, wherever it is a dead end, wherever it seems like the end, begin to open up the way right now. Begin to make a way out of no way in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, begin to do the impossible, do miracle signs and wonders, oh God, for your sons and daughters, oh God. Father, pray, we pray right now to create miracles, oh God, great and mighty things, oh God. Lord, we just want to thank you, oh God, that it's already done, oh God, that you've answered our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us, Lord, we pray right now, let us see visions, let signs and
and wonders and miracles begin to take place in our lives right now. Let great and mighty things begin to happen. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ over us and all that we love and concern about it. Every listener, we decree and declare this miracle will take place. It's permanent. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can take away our blessings. Nobody can say that we won't have it, because we receive it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive our miracles, and nobody shall steal it. Nobody shall steal our destiny. Nobody shall steal our healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we all say amen. God bless you. God keep you. We love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Tune back in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. to the Preacher and the Pastor Show. God bless you. I love you, though. I love you, babe.
God bless you.
Set me free. Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on, put your hands together.